olin.edu.
And support for WMNF comes from Goodwill and from our members in Goodwill, one of the original recyclers. Did you know that it takes nearly 1,800 gallons of water to produce one pair of jeans? When those jeans are donated to Goodwill, they're sold in Goodwill stores, and the proceeds support employment services for people in the local community. Goodwill shoppers and donors promote a greener community. More at goodwill-suncoast.org. And this time of the year, it's in with the old and out, or out with the old and in with the new. If you're cleaning your garage, WMNF accepts vehicle donations and will gladly worry about the sale and paperwork so you don't have to. We will pick up those not-so-cool Hot Wheels at a time convenient to you. Call 888-966-3885 or visit WMNF.org, and thanks. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM in Tampa. This is community radio from West Central Florida. You happen to have tuned in to Executive Session, which is a forum for the discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. I'm John Gilmore. I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. In the conversation we have about the executive branch, all viewpoints are welcome. We require civility because we're convinced basically that radio can still be the back fence of the nation, a place for reasonable people to hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they still don't agree. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. You can join, or you can reach the studio at dj@wmnf.org, and by text at 813-433-0885. Be sure and find Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page so you can see all the links to the material we're discussing that day and join the discussion there. As usual, the weekend brought us good reason to stay buckled up. What? It was an incredible news week on Friday. The earliest rumblings came in the form of the chairman and the ranking member of the Senate Intelligence Committee issuing a subpoena for the president's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, after Cohen postponed testimony before the House Oversight Committee, claiming he and his family were threatened by the president and his current lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. Now, that was from a report on Fox News. So what do you make of the Republican-controlled Intel Committee demanding Cohen's presence? Now, in addition to that, Roger Stone was indicted and then arrested in a pretty spectacular raid in the pre-dawn hours of Friday. It's worth remembering that Stone was a business partner with Paul Manafort, who chaired the president's campaign through the Republican convention. That was from the Washington Times. There has been much made of the way Stone was arrested. What do you think? Lawfare published an article about the raid and basically said that it was standard procedure, and that the reason that it was carried out the way that it was because they were concerned about Mr. Stone's communicated threats. He had actually threatened witnesses, and so there were many, many counts of very various things, but their primary concern was that he had actually threatened violence against witnesses. So they apparently went in there in full force, very politely knocked on the door, "Excuse me, Mr. Stone, but there's 29 of us here, and we'd like to come in." Now, hallelujah, the shutdown ended for 3 weeks. The president issuing what some see as a veiled threat, and this is a quote from the president, to use the powers afforded to me under the laws and Constitution of the United States to address this emergency. That was reprinted in U.S. News, in U.S. News. What do you think will happen if the president tries to, quote, use the powers of the office to declare a national emergency to bypass Congress to build his wall? Is there really, and this is a quote, an unforeseen combination of circumstances or the resulting state that calls for immediate action? Or, because that's basically the definition of emergency, an unforeseen combination of circumstances or the resulting state that calls for immediate action. Anyway, there's so that's the that is the definition of emergency by the from Merriam-Webster. So, is it an abuse of power to declare such an emergency if there's no urgent need for assistance or relief? You can join the conversation this afternoon at 813-239-9663. That will get you into contact with Mr. Bill Grace. He will answer your call. I'll get your name. Probably want to know where you're calling from. And he might even want to know a little bit about what you want to say. So, 813-239-9663. Let's talk.
Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
It's very interesting.
Those were the days.
Well, I'll tell you what. The technicals are getting the best of me this afternoon, and it doesn't look like Archie and Edith are going to sing today. So we are just going to wait for you and get you on the air, see, because this is a conversation for you to talk about the executive branch of your United States government and find out just exactly what you think, especially of these last few days. These last few days have been a whirlwind. The president's former lawyer basically telling the House, I'm not going to come in there and talk because the president and his lawyer, his current lawyer, are threatening my family. And then the Senate Intelligence Committee subpoenaing the man and saying, oh, yes, you will. You'll be in here and we're going to talk to you. So there was that. And then Roger Stone is a man with whom the president has been acquainted for many, many years and was a part of the Roy Cohn and Roger Stone. And Roger Stone was also, it's worth keeping in mind, Paul Manafort's business partner, along with Lee Atwater. And if you want to look up something really interesting, look up Lee Atwater. And they figured out how to shut down. They figured out how to shut down the shutdown. And how they decided to shut down the shutdown was by signing the same bill that they could have signed 35 days ago that opens the government for 3 weeks, or less time than it was closed. What do you think of that? And what do you think of the president seemingly making a threat to use the powers of the office to declare a national emergency? Do you think there is a national emergency at the southern border? Is what's going on at our southern border an unforeseen combination of circumstances or the resulting state that calls for immediate action. 813-239-9663, and we will be talking to Daryl. Daryl, kick us off here on a Monday afternoon.
Hey, John. Yes, I believe that there is a crisis, but I don't think it's at the southern border. And for those people who have an opposite political opinion than I do, and they start to look up at the ceiling and roll their eyes, I don't know if you're like me, but...
Daryl, keep going. For some reason, I am not able to hear you, sir.
Oh. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I got you.
Okay.
I can hear you now.
With our mayoral candidates who are running for mayor, if you can understand this before I get on the topic, because I only have a few seconds, would you please, as this being a major city, would you address this situation and get a good phone company into the city? Please, don't promise a good roads and all the other stuff. That's very important, but we need a good major phone company in the city. That's just my opinion. Now, let me get to the topic of what the host wanted to ask about. Yes, I do think there is a crisis in this nation, and it's not at the southern border. It's at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And for those who have a differing opinion than mine politically, want to look up at the ceiling and roll your eyes, I think most of you, I'm not going to ask the host this, but I'm really sick and tired of this now. And we can't giggle and laugh around this guy anymore. He thinks he's a king, and he thinks he's like Putin and this guy from North Korea. We don't have dictators here. And he wants to use supposedly the powers of the office, and I'm just going to shut the government down. Our economy is hurting because of this clown, and because of the last shutdown, the people who are going to get paid now, I heard that it's still kind of topsy-turvy for them right now, the thousands of people. So, yeah, I think there is a crisis, but it's at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It's not at the southern border. I hope you can hear me.
That doesn't include you. Are you there? Okay. All right. We have several little bugs crawling around in the board this morning or this afternoon. So we're kind of dealing with a little of that. I don't know what that is. Anyway, we are going to go. We're going to go back to the phones and talk to you because that's what we're doing today. Is talking to you. All right, Frank in Sarasota. Good afternoon. You're in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor.
Well, thank you very much. I just wanted to call and say that I think that Trump may have lost 800,000 voters when he did this. I'm not sure if they were pro-Trump or anti-Trump when they were working at the government there. But you take 800,000. Paychecks away from 800,000 people and expect them to be on your side, especially if you jump from the frying pan into the fire and do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I wondered about that because there were, I worked in the Transportation Security Administration's workforce for a long time. There were a lot of conservative folks out there, you know, I'm trying to, I have the same question you do. When you throw somebody into that kind of financial problem, you know, do you lose their support to that? Because he kept tweeting the whole time about how all the people that are, you know, that aren't getting paid, they still, you know, they're patriots and heroes and all that kind of stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, patriotism and heroism will go so far, but when you can't buy food for your kids, that's an entire other matter.
Right. all that stuff about a lot of them on my side is all bull Trump.
Yeah, I don't see that, and I don't have a lot of contact with the people that I used to work with, but the few people that I do still have contact with who are still working out there were not pleased to find themselves forced, basically.
Right, and a lot of people chose this time to retire. You know, they've had their whatever, 25, 30 years, whatever they've had, and they said, well, you know, it's time to get out.
Yeah.
And now they're short-handed everywhere. And how are you going to get people to join up and say, you know, qualified people join TSA or something like that and say, well, you know, you can't strike and you have, sometimes you might have to go without a paycheck, but, you know, it's a decent job or, I don't know, I just don't get it. I don't believe it gets them anything. Although, it may differ, you know. To call up and say, yeah, it was great, you know, a great shutdown, everybody won, and, you know.
We hold this forum open for all viewpoints. We basically want to hear from people on all from all viewpoints along the political spectrum, and so I'm still unclear, basically the same way that you are, as to whether or not people who found themselves suddenly being forced to work for free and being, you know, even if you're promised back pay.
Right.
So when this thing is over, we're going to pay you. Well, that's good, but the grocery store is not particularly interested in that.
Right, unless you're a contractor, in which case you won't get paid. You know, you clean up the buildings or whatever, or do whatever the more, I guess you could call them menial jobs around Washington, and there are plenty of them.
Oh, yeah.
I went to high school there. That's, you know, they're not going to get paid, and that's just ridiculous. And why would he do that again, you know, make these people miserable? I mean, he's a miserable guy, but, you know, you have to make other people miserable.
Well,
anyway,
yeah. Go ahead.
That's my perspective.
All right. Listen, Frank, thanks a lot. I appreciate you being in here this afternoon, and we'll talk again.
Okay, thanks.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 will get you in contact with Mr. Bill Grace this afternoon, and Bill will answer your call, get you ready to step on in here and have your say in executive session this afternoon. We're talking about this, the incredible news week that was Friday, really. You know, it went on through the weekend, but just on Friday, there was an incredible earthquake of stuff happening. Stone was indicted and arrested. They managed to find a way to creep back to 35 days ago and sign the legislation that they could have signed that would have prevented the shutdown anyway. In order to end the shutdown, the president didn't get anything for his wall and basically came out at the announcement that the shutdown was over to essentially threaten to use the powers of the office for the purpose of declaring a national emergency. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about this afternoon was, do you think that what's happening at our southern border, do you think the southern border of the United States constitutes an emergency? That is to say, an unforeseen combination of circumstances or the resulting state that calls for immediate action. This is the Merriam-Webster definition of, or part of the Merriam-Webster definition of emergency. So we're going to go and talk to Teresa in St. Pete. Good afternoon, Teresa in St. Pete. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
If he declares a state of emergency and he gets the money from the Defense Department or whatever, won't the ranchers and the farmers along the border and those border states, will they still have the right to take him to court? Because I know they're going to file lawsuits, but if it's a state of emergency, first of all, there is none. There's no crisis. Will they have the right to take him to court?
I don't know. Craig and I were talking before we went on the air this afternoon and figured that the length of time between the time when the president declares a national emergency, and the moment that that shows up in court is likely to be measured in minutes.
Right. Yeah, but will they do they have the right to?
I don't know. That's one of the complicating issues is right. That there is land all along the route where the wall would have to be built.
Right.
That is part of people's, like you said, ranches and farms and stuff like that. And so then at that point, they have to deal with eminent domain. Does the government have the wherewithal to appropriate this land? So, and I think you're right. I think it's one of the things that we may find that we're going to have to deal with is that, there is... There are substantial questions. There are substantial questions about that. So, I don't know.
I don't either. It will be interesting to see.
Yes, it will. I think it will be interesting to see because there's also, by the way, if I recall correctly, there is also no definition for national emergency.
Right.
So, is we going to have to go into court and litigate a definition so that we can find out whether the president's declaration of a national emergency fits the newly minted definition?
So, this could be tied up in court for at least a year, and then that'll be election year, or I don't know how long it could, who knows, maybe, I don't know. But let's say it takes a year, then it'll be election year and nobody's going to touch that. Maybe. I don't know.
I think one of the things that I conjectured was that this would find its way in the fastest track possible to the Supreme Court of the United States.
That's true. And then they'll probably rule in his favor and then we're all screwed.
Okay. Well, I don't know. It's odd. I know that we have a Supreme Court that is considered quite conservative at this point. And I've also lived long enough to have watched people who were appointed to the Supreme Court by one, by a president of one party or the other who were expected to be conservative or progressive or whatever. And it seems that the seat on that bench up there alters people's outlook.
That's true. So maybe we have a chance. I don't. That is true. I know. I'm not too far behind you in age. I just turned 60.
Yeah.
And I've seen that. You're right. We don't know for sure, but in the way the climate is today, I hate to get my hopes up that they actually might do the right thing. I don't know.
Well, so we don't. We won't
find out together.
Yeah, we won't know that. We'll have to find that out. And the other thing, by the way, is that we have our version of term limits coming up in 2020.
Well, that's true. Yes.
See, and so my basic vision for the election of 2020 is that the polls look like that wall climbing scene from World War Z.
Oh, okay.
I want the polls swarmed. I want everybody that can possibly get in to vote out there.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. If we don't, I just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I don't know. Democracy is a very rough form of government. It's really, really tough. It's fragile. It's fractious. It's loud. And one of the things that's true about democracy is that the citizens have the prerogative of making very substantial mistakes.
True.
They also have the... Yes, that's exactly. That's the beauty of democracy is that they also have the prerogative of correcting such mistakes.
And in the words of you, it's not a spectator's fault.
That's right.
Yeah. I listen a lot, so I okay, well, I will let you go and get on to somebody else.
All right.
You have a great day.
Thanks, Teresa. It's good to hear from you, and with any luck, we'll talk some more.
All Yes, we will. Bye-bye.
All right. 813-239-9663 will get you into this conversation this afternoon. We'll be right back. Support for WMNF comes from our members in Happy Feet Plus. Since 1985, Happy Feet Plus has been providing healthy footwear solutions, including brands such as Birkenstock, Finn Comfort, and Kenco Massage Sandals. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com. And now we're going to talk to you and tell you about...
It's finally happening. WMNF presents J.D. McPherson at Skipper Smokehouse on Friday, February 22nd. Heatland's 50s and 60s roots revival with a rocking alternative sound. Lindsay Beaver opens the show at 8 p.m. Tickets and more information at WMNF.org.
All right. And by the way, you should know that if you have a car that you no longer need, think about using it to support WMNF. Donating a car, truck, or other vehicle is a great way to support the causes you care about most, like your station. Visit WMNF.org or call 888-966-3885. All right, and back to the conversation. You're listening to Executive Session here on WMNF 88.5 FM in Tampa, WMNF.org, streaming, and you can also get WMNF on your device, on your handheld device. And right now we're going to return to the conversation with Bob in Lakeland. Bob, good afternoon. You're in Executive Session, and you have the floor.
Hey, John. 1969, I was stationed in Quantri, Vietnam, on the DMZ. On the DMZ, they had a series of sound sensors. They had motion detectors, all kinds of stuff that was scattered through there. There was a tactical operations center at Quantri that monitored anything that moved in the DMZ. The people in that bunker could tell you if the noise was being made by a mongoose or a water buffalo, they could tell you, or a bird. They could tell you if they even heard a noise. They could tell you whether that noise was being generated by a VC, NVA, an American soldier. It was amazing, and nobody crossed the DMZ until finally...
There were no caravans at the DMZ, Bob?
No, nobody could move through there without any, without the, us knowing about it. This is technology that we had in 1969.
Yeah.
50 years ago. We've got technology now that makes that look, you know, like two soup cans and a string.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they can take a picture of your license tag.
Yeah.
Now, something tells me that there are other ways to secure the border, if we even if we need to or not, is another question. But if
let's just operate on the high, on the general hypothesis that we actually want to secure that border.
Okay.
And we'll just go there.
So. You know, I mean, it just blows me away that we had the technology to do that 50 years ago.
Yeah.
You know that we have advanced way beyond that now.
Oh, yeah.
And to build a physical barrier, which you didn't work for the Chinese, didn't work for the French, didn't work for Hadrian when he went into...
didn't work for the England Sumerians.
2,000 years ago.
I mean, yeah.
It didn't work. Now... I can't believe that if we're going to invest that kind of money that we can't do it way more wisely than what we're talking about doing.
I would
a barrier.
I would think so. I would think so. A physical barrier. I mean, a physical barrier is fine, and it's inflexible by its nature.
Yeah.
So, and we have been employing a technology for many, many years over in another hemisphere that we commonly call drones. They're not drones. A drone is a specific kind of unmanned aerial vehicle, but we call them drones anyway because we do things like that.
That's right.
And those those drones have been used specifically for finding people.
Amazing.
Yeah. They have infrared sensors, so you can't sneak in there by night. And the thing about it is that if you spot somebody with one of them, you can just keep the thing in the general vicinity and keep your eye on them. It's like being spotted by a helicopter. You're not getting away.
Nope.
So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just, you know, like I said, it just blows me away that that we're talking about goofy stuff like this.
Yeah, yeah, there's so much. There is a way that we can use what we have, and I got to tell you, Lockheed Martin and McDonnell Douglas, those guys, McDonnell Douglas.
Yeah,
I mean to build a fleet. Yeah, our aerospace defense contractors to build a fleet to do that. That would be, you know, you talk about a jobs program.
We already have 20,000 people at the border. Now, it's a 2,000-mile border. Even allowing...
That's one every 500 feet.
That's...
more or less.
It works out to one person every tenth of a mile.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
A tenth of a mile is about a city block.
Yeah.
You could have one guy at one end of the block going, hey, Bill, you see any Mexicans? The guy goes, no, not yet.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a way that we could design a surveillance program that would take that border into our absolute control almost immediately. If we had to, we could actually, and you've pointed out, and I have pointed out ad nauseum, that we have had spy satellites that can photograph very small objects on the ground. And those are the ones they've told us about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Those are just the ones they want us to know about.
Right.
But I bet you we got stuff out there that is, you need a crypto clearance to even think about it.
You can't even say that out loud.
Yeah. Most people don't know what a crypto clearance is.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, just my two cents, buddy.
All right, listen, thanks. It's good to hear from you, and we'll talk again.
Yeah, I'll see you soon, John.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. Good to hear from the community this afternoon. Always good. And you can reach us at 813-239-9663. Going to go and talk to Fred in St. Pete. Tell us about the state of emergency, Fred.
Hey, John, you asked just a question I wanted to answer.
How about that?
And I do know what a crypto clearance is.
Anyway. Okay.
We are definitely in a state of emergency.
Uh-huh.
But the state of emergency happens to be the mental stability of our current president.
Yeah. So not at the southern border, huh?
No.
Yeah. Okay, I got it.
That's all I wanted to say, John. I'll let somebody else talk.
All right. Thanks. You have that's a very clear exposition of opinion. Thank you very much, Fred.
Well, I'm short-winded today. I'm sorry.
All right. We'll call back, and we'll talk again.
Thanks, John. Have a good week, buddy.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663, and Mr. Bill Grace will answer your call, get you ready to step in here. Want to know your first name, where you're calling from, and maybe a word or two about what you've got to say. We were marveling at the incredible news week that Friday was. We know that we commonly buckle ourselves in on Thursday because we've noticed there's a certain pattern to events, and that stuff seems to break loose like crazy somewhere between 2 o'clock Thursday afternoon and when we get together here on Monday afternoon. So, what do you make of all this? We've had the president's former lawyer say he's been threatened by the president and his current lawyer and refusing to show up before the House Oversight Committee. And then we've had the chairman and the ranking member of the Senate Intelligence Committee issuing him a subpoena that says, you will show up here. We've had the one of the long time, and this is. By the way, Roger Stone prides himself on your scorn. He prides himself on being a dirty trickster. That's what he does. And he was Paul Manafort's business partner and has been associated with Republican campaigns way back into the 80s. And he was first indicted, and then the FBI sent a very, very impressive workforce, unpaid, to his house very early on Friday morning to escort him to a different living situation, briefly. And what do you think of that? What do you think of Roger Stone finding his way into Mueller's sights, I guess? 813-239-9663. Go and talk to Steve in Tampa, because you are a very patient guy, Steve. You're in executive session this afternoon.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about you're not believing that there's a crisis at the southern border. I mean, our president wouldn't lie to us, John.
Not yet today, anyway.
And this vision in my head, because I've listened to a lot of old war movies, and I have this picture of back during the Korean War, you know, how the Chinese would come storming the wire, you know, thousands and thousands. And I have this picture at the southern border of all these Mexicans and Hondurans and all storming the border, listening to mariachi music and.
They've got their backpacks on their back and their kids' hands.
Backpacks on filled with drugs or with terrorist devices, and they're coming for us, man. And you need to listen to Alex Jones and listen to our president.
I detect a note of sarcasm in your voice, I think.
No.
No, I don't
think. Do you really think that I would be being facetious?
No, of course not. I think, you know, what we keep hearing from the president a lot and from Republicans somewhat more diffusely, that there's all these Democrats who want open borders, just open the border. And I keep looking to see who they're talking about. Because I don't ever remember hearing a Democrat saying, oh, just let's throw the border open and forget the whole thing.
I haven't, but their thinking is it that all these illegal aliens will all vote for Democrats, and that's why they want all these illegal aliens to come in because that's the only way the Democrats can win. The real Americans won't vote for them.
Well, the funny thing about that is that they can't vote.
That's true, but
and they also don't receive, and they also are not eligible for all these benefits that the Republicans claim that they're getting. So, you know, I mean, I suppose that yes, when you are in detention, we do take care of you. I mean, you know, food and stuff like that.
I don't know. It doesn't sound like a real fun place to be. I've heard them describe it on Democracy Now, and I don't think I'd want to be there.
No, I don't either. And I think that if you look up, and I believe it's Merriam-Webster's definition of concentration camp, I think it's a fascinating read.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right. Listen, Steve, it's been good to talk with you. And, We'll talk again.
Later.
Later for you. 813-239-9663. Lowell Laurie Abraham, may we see you there on the phone. We will be with you in ever so short a time. Support for WMNF comes from our members in UF Online, providing education to qualified students regardless of their location. Online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. UF believes it's time to expect more from an online education. UF Online students don't just log in, they connect.
WMNF's winter membership drive begins at 6 a.m. on Wednesday, February 6th, and ends on February 13th. We're now seeking restaurants, caterers, and chefs to feed our volunteers taking your pledges. Do you own or work for a food establishment? We have many ways to thank you. Find out about donating drinks, snacks, or a meal by contacting Miss Julie at 813-238-8001 or emailing missjulie@wmnf.org.
And we are down the backstretch here on WMNF 88.5 FM in executive session this afternoon as we open the sessions for Monday that follows an incredible weekend of stuff that was just, I mean, just Friday was amazing, and we are looking at kind of catching up here so that we can get into the more current events, because this is likely to be a fairly eventful week. And also take a moment to remind you, as we heard in the announcements there just a few minutes ago, just a few seconds ago, that we are going to open the winter fund drive here on February 6th and invite your participation by sending money, because that's what keeps WMNF on the air. This is a remarkable, remarkable institution, and in as much as it is owned and operated by the people who own and operate it. It is not operated by a corporation. It is not owned by a university. It is your radio station that you actually pay for and that you actually operate. The people around here who are operating this place are for the most part here on a volunteer basis. We show up to run the radio station and to bring you what you want to hear, because the other feature of the station is the democratic feature, which is to say you get to hear what you want. And how one of the ways that we discern what you want is by your financial support. So you can actually go to WMNF.org and click on the tip jar, and you can start donating right now if you'd care to, and certainly look forward to hearing about your contributions starting February 6th, but right this minute, we are going to go and talk to Lowell in Sarasota. Lowell, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hey, John. Nice to talk to you. So there's one small point. I have a friend who has been in the government for about 20 years, so he's been through a bunch of these shutdowns. And one thing he told me that probably hasn't made it to any kind of news is that every time they have a shutdown, they say, okay, we think they're going to pay you back, but we can't guarantee it. And he said this time they sounded even more serious than the last time.
Really?
Yeah, there's always the possibility. That's not a guarantee. That creates, think of the uncertainty that would create when you're a month behind on your bills.
Yeah.
You scrounge through, and then, boy, you get slapped with that. So.
Well, see, when you're, it's like the people who are stationed on ships in the Coast Guard, and those ships deployed, Well, you're doing fine because you got three hots in a cot and a dry spot. And so you're going to be all right. And the problem is that you may be sailing away from a family.
Yeah.
And your family is not so guaranteed those three hots, a cot, and a dry spot.
Right.
So, you know, it's tough. I served 4 years in the Coast Guard, and yeah. I know what those guys do.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody that should be paid for their work.
Of course.
You know, and what sense does it make to use those guys as leverage if you've got an issue that you say is national security and you cut off the pay for the people who are actually on the front lines?
It doesn't seem to make very much sense at all, does it?
It didn't to me, but, and of course that may be why I'm not president. You know, I mean, you go, we got to take these things into consideration. That's a possibility, you got to admit.
Yeah, I'm sure I'd be. My wife points out to me all the time that I'd make a terrible president.
Yeah. So.
Because I'd be like, throw him in jail.
Well, I tell you what, I think it's interesting to watch. One of the aspects of this presidency is it's interesting to watch as this guy confronts the difference between being the president of the United States and dealing with the structure around the presidency and being the CEO of a family company where basically if he says jump, everybody jumps up.
It's a whole different deal, and I think he's going to learn that. Even a stronger lesson shortly.
I think it's going to be very interesting. I think that his encounter with Ms. Pelosi is likely to be very, very informative and instructive for him because he has not, up until this point in his presidency, had a real co-equal part of the government that was in the hands of the loyal opposition.
Yep.
So he now has got Nancy Pelosi knows what she's doing.
I'm so glad she didn't cave.
Yeah, I don't think, well, first off, she's not in debt to the president at all.
Right.
She's a Democrat. She's a California Democrat. She's been in the House before. She has had the gavel before. She doesn't need his support.
No.
So she is free to operate based on her party and the Democratic Party, and also to look to see that freshman class that we just brought into the House of Representatives represents one of the biggest departures from business as usual that I've ever seen in my life.
Yep. Yeah, I love AOC, Alexandra Cortez.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, too much name.
We're going to have to get used to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez because she's going to be around, I think.
I hope so. She's wonderful. Okay, man, that's all I wanted to tell you.
All right, thanks, Lowell. We'll talk again. 813-239-9663 as we sneak up on the threshold of the lightning round here, and we're going to go and talk to Lori in St. Pete. Good afternoon, Lori. You're in executive session on WMNF. You have the floor.
Hello, John.
Hello.
In my humble opinion, yes, we have a crisis at the border. And the crisis of the border, all these fellow human beings are simply trying to survive on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of them are coming in the legal route. And we're so backed up in the courts and our ability to take them in. We're separating, you know, children from their families. We have a wall. Here's what I'm thinking. We have a wall. And it's a wall between these elitist white men who have no idea what it's like to survive in this country without, you know, having a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are so out of touch, they think that someone can go to the grocery store and the grocer is going to say, oh, hey, Bill, or hey, Dean, you're having a hard time. Let me give you a gallon of milk. And I read, and I don't know who wrote it.
But someone wrote,
this is not Little House on the Prairie. Half-pipe can't go to the local store, to the Olsen's, and say, hey, we're having hard times here because the government can you give me a gallon of milk.
Yeah.
And we have a national crisis in the majority of cities and states and you know, in this country because of poverty and lack of medical care. And mostly what I wanted to say is we have a crisis in this country because white men, majority white men, these aren't migrants that just executed these five women in Sebring at a bank.
Yeah.
These aren't migrants that have caused, you know, however many mass shootings we've already had in this country. Women were forced to lie down on the floor and they were executed, shot in the head by this white man.
Mm.
And is he even talking about that? Has he acknowledged it? But imagine if a migrant did it.
Yeah, I can assure you that if that gentleman had been somebody who had crossed the border illegally, that mm-hmm. there would have been no end of the howling from the Fox News people.
Absolutely not. Oh, and that brings me to my last point. Someone mentioned, will these 800,000 people switch over? My thought is, well, the ones who even have the liberty of paying attention to politics because they're just trying to string together a life, you know, from the post-op. But in my opinion, the ones who are already in the Kool-Aid, they're probably still just getting their information from one source, and that source is sending this shutdown to blame it on the Democrats. And
yeah.
So if they don't leave their comfort, you know, their comfort, you know, room to get different information, they're still going to support Republicans.
It's a possibility, Lori, something that we have to deal with. We're going to have to deal with the question about whether or not a highly motivated and cohesive activist minority, which is what the president's so-called base is, can exert its will over a majority because that majority is not as organized and there, you know, is voting in different ways and has different priorities and stuff. And we're going to find out whether or not a minority can basically ride the country in its direction because the majority is not so cohesive.
Yeah, and it's already happened, and I'm not sure that it's certain that we're going to be able to get together for 2000. I see a lot of splintering.
That's why I am very strongly urging everybody that can move to vote. Because if you're qualified to vote, go vote. Because if you don't, you just said yes to however it turns out.
Yes, sir.
All right,
thank
Lori.
You so much.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right, I want to remind you that you are listening to Executive Session here in Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM, and that following Executive Session this afternoon is It's the Music, and it looks a little bit like one Mr. Randy Wind may be in that studio over there, and I don't know what he's going to do, and you don't either, so it's going to be worth hanging out just to find out what Randy's got up his sleeve here for the next couple hours, and he is going to take you through the afternoon, as we so frequently do, and deliver you onto the traffic jam so that you can get home safely and spend the evening hours, and then we'll be back tomorrow in the afternoon early, right after the NPR News at 1. Let me see something here. We got Abraham. Can you do it in a minute?
Yes.
Do it.
Okay, this is Abraham from Tampa.
It is.
My call. All right, listen, I just started listening to you guys recently, and contrary to Trump and his four conservative Republican radio talk show hosts that I listen to every now and then, which would be Mike Gallagher, and Dennis Prager, and Hewitt, and Michael Savage. There is no emergency here, but definitely, he's going to declare a national emergency in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
I don't think he has enough guts to do a shutdown again, because his numbers plummeted, and that's all he really cares about anyway. The guy really doesn't even care about the wall anyway. I mean, he really doesn't. All he cares about is his numbers and trying to get reelected. And he obviously doesn't care about the American people. His second signature promise was that he's going to keep people and make jobs for people. And he puts 800,000 people out of work for 5 weeks. Right?
Well, no, actually, Abraham, he didn't put them out of work. A lot of them had to work, but they just...
Yeah, right. Oh, no, you're right.
I guess there's a distinction between being put out of work and not being paid.
No, you're right. he induced slavery.
Yeah, how about that?
A lot of people is what he did. But anyway, I don't think the guy has enough gumption to actually do a shutdown again. But I know in my heart that he's going to declare the emergency.
Now, all right, Abraham, we got to go. We got literally 20 seconds, and I'll be talking to you again later. Jake and David and Adam, we're not going to get to talk to you today. But what we are going to get to remind you is
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?